When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mace is here as well. You were talking about the fact that he's won.
Bonjour.
Yes. Three out of the last four, or he's going to win his third MVP in the last 4 years. He's got a
finals
MVP.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he should have won last year, too.
Right. Four in a row. Has anybody done four in a row?
Did LeBron? LeBron
has
four.
Bill Russell did.
Okay.
Did Jordan? I don't know. We'd have to look it up.
Here's the thing. You're talking about John looking. They were close. Silver linings, all that. Jokic and Murray aren't even 30.
Right.
And
there's Michael Porter.
That's what I mean. Like, this is not the, hey, all right, we're getting near the end. This is not the Warriors. This is them ascending still.
Right.
And they're going to very likely be in their second consecutive finals. They might win two finals in a row. They've got those two guys. They've got a supporting cast that makes a ton of sense. They've got a head
good coach.
The path isn't, okay, how do you get better? It's how do you get past those guys? If you're the Lakers and you compete for championships, my goodness.
Tackling that page. Mace, did you watch Get Up this morning?
I did.
Okay, so Mike Greenberg said something that I shockingly agree with.
Okay.
He thinks that if the Lakers would have played the exact same way, in games one and game two, they would have beat every other team in the West except Denver.
I actually agree with that. This was the matchup.
And to your,
you could not
to
have.
Your credit, Mace,
yeah,
you actually said it before this all happened.
I had picked them to beat OKC.
Well, you were saying lay down against New Orleans, go
and
play
now
Sacramento.
He doesn't look as big of an idiot,
right.
does he?
He does not.
No.
Well, by the way, and I was saying when they get swept or lose in five, let's revisit this conversation.
Here's the problem.
Oh, we can revisit it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I still wouldn't have done it, Trav. Would you?
No.
Here's the problem with saying.
Now I think you can no longer say, as Darvin did, that people like Mason are in an insane asylum.
No, you're not
that's
being institutionalized.
That's a reach.
Thank you.
Here's the problem with saying that they'd have beat any other team out there in the Western Conference. I don't know what Darvin Ham did for the entire second half.
I don't either.
I don't know what Anthony Davis did for the entire fourth quarter. They have 17 points total of their entire bench in two games, and Torian Prince has all those points. So I get it that, well, if it just wasn't the Denver Nuggets, I actually don't believe that.
You don't believe?
I don't believe they could be up 2-0 against any other team in the Western
against
Conference.
Against any other team.
As long as it's not the Denver Nuggets.
Who would be up 2-0 against them?
Whether it's 1-1, 2-0, Minnesota's
well, there's
a
big
problem.
Difference between those two
big,
things.
Big
Minnesota's
difference.
A problem. Yeah. I think Minnesota's a tough matchup. The Clippers is a question mark just because of Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Dallas had been a problem. I know they lost their
Dallas
first game, but that's a good team.
Good
is that tonight? Is game
season.
Two tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think that, listen, do I feel like the series should be tied one apiece? I do. But how do you blow a 20-point lead that's this slow drip and you could be that bad for an entire second half? I have a very difficult time of trying to take anything optimistically away from that game yesterday.
Well, wait a minute. Let me come back at you on something. How do you blow a 20-point lead? You don't give the Nuggets any credit for that? The Lakers blew
John,
it. The Lost it. The
John.
Nuggets didn't win
the
it.
The Nuggets couldn't hit a shot.
Right.
And they were
so
still.
What did they do?
But in fairness, they made 8 of their last 9 baskets.
They ran everything through Jokic and made the Lakers make a decision. They said, all right. You can't guard him with Anthony Davis because he had 5 fouls.
I don't know if you were probably on the plane. John Barkley was going in on that. Like, you can't double Jokic there because what it did is it let Murray just absolutely go to work on you.
Michael had an idea early in the game. Michael said, here's what you should do. And looking back, I wish they would have done this.
Keep AD on Jokic.
Right, but let Jokic score 60.
I agree.
Right. So this is the way Miami beat them last year in the finals that one game.
Yeah, don't let him have help the dimes, on Jokic. If he comes down and scores 20 straight baskets, let him.
Yep.
But don't let anybody else
stop
get going.
Stop everybody else.
And when Murray got going in the fourth quarter, Trav, like you were talking about, 14 fourth quarter points and then lights out.
Why not stop everybody? else.
I don't think it's taking anything away.
Even when you're all over Jokic, he's still going to do damage.
I don't think it's not giving credit to the Denver Nuggets. I don't think I'm not giving credit to the Denver Nuggets.
You're not?
I don't think I'm not.
Does that mean you are or you're not? If you're not.
Not is a positive.
Right, however, so just answer this. What was the case? Did the Nuggets win it or did the Lakers lose it?
I thought the Lakers lost it.
I thought the Nuggets won it.
I did too.
Yeah.
Anthony
Davis took one freaking shot in the fourth quarter.
Darvin Ham did nothing for the entire second half.
They went 8 minutes scoreless without a basket from about late in the third to
7-7 is what Alex
said. I don't know what the Lakers did for the entire second half, and it's not taking credit away from Denver. It's I don't know what the Lakers did for the entire second half.
Come back to this, though. The whole point of that, you're talking about what Greenberg said. They play anybody else, they're up 2-0. Okay, fine.
Or at least 1-1, yeah.
I understand that for entertainment purposes, I understand for the business of what we all do, it's much better for them to stay in as long as possible.
Correct.
I get that.
Right.
But isn't the end result ultimately the same?
Yeah, which is why I had no problem with them winning that game in New Orleans.
In fairness, you never know. A lot of people said get Denver early. You never know. Turned ankle, injury.
But that cuts the same way with the Lakers.
By the time you get to
the same way with the Lakers.
It does, but you've got you have a better shot with them. After they're worn down a little bit, and maybe somebody gets dinged up, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if anybody.
This is a healthy, rested Denver team.
The Lakers' best guy is very old and played a million minutes of basketball. The longer it goes, I don't think the better he's going to get. He's still LeBron, and he missed a wide open shot last night. He just missed.
After he made the two previous passes.
He just missed. I don't have a problem with the decision. No problem. He missed. Mm-hmm. It happens.
And by the way, you have to take that shot.
Of course you do.
KCP was on the
best shot you're going to get.
He missed, and I understand that, but I'm really curious what he's going to look like on Thursday. How many minutes did he play last night, John? It had to be 40-something, right?
Yeah, I think he ended up at like between 42 and 43.
Although, in fairness, he did not look tired at the end of that
game. I thought everybody on the court looked tired last night.
I don't think LeBron made those two threes, and I was like, he's not tired.
It's funny you say that, Mace. That was the one point of the game. Even when they're up 20 in the third quarter, I'm like, there's still so much time.
Yeah.
Murray's going to get going. They're going to make some shots. It was just, will the clock expire before he can get
right? We only played 38.
Okay, yeah. Well, that helps a little.
By the way, 20 points in the NBA now is nothing.
It's nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing.
So it's getting closer. It's getting closer. They get it down to 2. Mm-hmm. And then when LeBron hit the back-to-back threes, that was the one I'm like, I think they're going to survive. Because we've seen it so many times where they're coming, and they can't quite get over the top. And then when
LeBron had that look like, I'm not letting us lose.
Looked like he saved them.
He got the dunk. Like, all of these things, you're like, okay, they're going to survive. And then that weird play where Gordon saved it, throws it to Porter. Yeah, Porter hits down the three.
That might be the play of the game.
Backbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had some bad turnovers. But I'll say it again. There isn't anybody outside of that locker room that doesn't think this series is over. And the attitude when they were coming home last night was, we can play with these guys.
What did you guys think?
D'Angelo, by the way, said, we're coming back and going to win the series.
I hope he's right.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, I don't know if they're going to win the series, but I'll say it again. They need to worry about one game Thursday. And if they win Thursday, then you worry about one game on Saturday. Yeah. And if you can get, these are big ifs, I know. If you can get it to 2-2, then it's a crapshoot.
What did you guys make of Darvin Ham, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, among others,
and D'Angelo Russell
complaining about the officials the way
not the reason they lost.
They didn't lose because of officiating, but that call on D'Angelo that they reviewed in Chicago.
It's a bad call, but it's in the third quarter. Look, I get it, and it's a bad look because he clearly gets smacked in the head.
Right.
All of these things. Of all the things the Lakers do not have access to, it's the officials are lobbying against us. They're working against us. The Lakers shot more free throws than any team in the NBA by a wide margin. The Lakers have been on the right side of officiating decisions far more often than they've been on the wrong side. It was a bad call, but they all leaned into it as hard as they did. I didn't like that.
So it happened also in the Knicks-Philly game. There was also a call that went to replay and went to New York, and they reviewed it, came back with the wrong call.
Yeah.
They came back with the wrong... Seriously, if you're not going to get it right, why are you going to have somebody review it?
And by the way, I've been arguing this. Michael's doing it too for 3 years. They had the number one ranked referee in the NBA was the lead official in Denver last night, Scott Foster. With Scott Foster as the lead official, they stopped the game. They reviewed the D'Angelo Russell play for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw D'Angelo Russell get hit in the face. and then they they overturn it. The foul was already called. They had to make an act of commission to get the thing reversed, and now. Why did we stop the game for 5 minutes? Yeah. I'll keep beating this drum. I know it. I'm never going to win this battle, but I don't care.
Kills everything.
I don't know, by the way, that you're not going
to
win.
Because you know why? Everybody's used to it now. Everybody's used to getting the calls
maybe
right.
Maybe we're used to it and we're defeated, but we all kind of hate it.
Yeah. Right. We all do hate it. And it's amazing.
Get rid of replay, and our games would all be 2 hours. Yeah. It'd be great.
It's amazing the number of times I get it wrong, even after reviewing it. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you review that
with
and get that wrong?
30 different angles.
He's smacked in the face.
But isn't it kind of the same? Incorrect. I don't know this, but I'm just using logic here. This is kind of the same thing. We're going to see who touched it last.
Yeah.
But the reason it touched me last is because you smacked me in the head and the ball fell. But here's I can't look at the smack in the head. Is that not the same
NBA
thing
we
the ball
grew
left
up with,
his hand?
The NBA all four of us grew up with had zero replay. And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was great.
Call on the floor. Let's go.
You know, and Michael said back then, too, these refs that call technical fouls, if you look at them funny, Michael said the refs would look back at him. You know, not him because he didn't swear a lot, but if somebody complained of a call and they yell at the ref would look at him and say, F you, play. and the player would be like, what? He goes, shut up, or I'm giving you a technical, play.
So, okay, I got a quick story for you.
Why don't the refs do that?
So,
don't stop the game unless you have to.
The 2 years that I did Laker pre and post,
yeah,
where you guys sit, I would sit on the far right baseline from where you're sitting,
okay,
over there,
yep,
closest
Mace
side
sits
to
over
you
there most of the time.
Right,
he goes.
So you and I sat together at a few of these games, and they were playing the Clippers one night, and I forget who it might have been, Brooke Lopez, but Blake Griffin and Brooke Lopez are kind of elbowing each other a little bit, and Blake's getting more and more frustrated, more and more frustrated, and I'm sitting close enough to hear the interaction. It's timeout on the floor. Blake Griffin looks at the official and says, look, man, you need to take care of this or I have to take care of this. And the guy kind of doesn't say anything. Come down, another trip down the court, and Blake looks at him again, and he takes the whistle out of his mouth and says, shut the up, Blake, and just play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does that not happen anymore?
No, it doesn't. And there's all these young officials that if you look at them funny,
so dumb,
they'll give you a technical. Again, stops the game. Illegal defense, get rid of it. It stops the game.
So
in international
dumb.
Basketball, there's no such thing as illegal defense.
Yeah.
These reviews stops the
right.
game.
And
those games last night, that may have been the best NBA night in 20 years.
It was fantastic.
It was incredible.
We're all Laker fans, so we're depressed. But if you're like a generic NBA fan,
that was a great game.
Those two games were insane.
Yeah.
But they both could have been better with more flow if we don't stop them unnecessarily. And that would be my argument to the Board of Governors is, can you imagine going to like U2 at the Sphere or going to Broadway and seeing Bryan Cranston in a play and right in the middle of it, they stop it and say, hey, we need to check something.
We need to replay that.
We'll be right back in 4 minutes.
They'd still get it wrong. Still get it wrong.
I messed up that line. We're going to go back and do it again.
Yep.
It's just stupid.
Oh, my goodness. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
What is weird is it's live imaging Tuesday and there's no sign of Morales. It's your lucky day, Ireland.
He's probably golfing.
Yes, is Morales going to be imaging?
He'll be here in the next 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. By the way, food in the kitchen, it's like a gazelle went down. They are circling. They are going after that food all of our MCs and our production
timing.
People.
They got here too late for me, and so I think I'm – we'll see. We'll see at the end of this segment if there's any food left. I'm like – I think I'm still in shock.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get to the game, I want to make sure everybody knows, especially if you're a Rams fan, Les Snead is going to join us in the next half hour or so.
I saw, you know, Kevin Demoff is running the Nuggets now.
Yeah.
So I saw him in Denver.
Oh, he must be feeling good.
He's coming out here for the draft.
Nice.
He's going to the draft house on Thursday. So, yeah, I haven't seen him since the win last night.
The draft house is where this year? It's
Hermosa.
In Hermosa, yeah.
Yeah, in a $16 million mansion in Hermosa.
Wow.
Supposedly it's spectacular.
Oh, that's
and
beautiful.
Sedano and Cap will be down in Hermosa on Thursday
Friday
at Hennessy's.
They're not at the house.
Oh, they're at Hennessy's.
That Hennessy's is really fun. It's right on the pier.
Yeah.
So that you guys should go see them. That's a really good
day.
Yeah,
that is good.
They'll be on the patio, so you can walk right up to them.
So, devastating last night.
I was telling these guys before you walked in, I was telling Travis Lee that Bill McDonald and I were talking on the way home on the plane last night.
Yep.
And we both started in the same year. Mm-hmm. In 2011, I started radio play-by-play, and he started TV play-by-play.
Right.
We both agreed that's the most heartbreaking loss we've ever called.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, again, it's only 13 years, but most of the time, we're on the other end of those.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Derek Fisher 0.4. We're on Anthony Davis in the bubble.
Yep.
We're on, you know, Kobe
time and time again. Yeah.
So now we have the other side feels.
Yeah. And they are, and we said this all along. I mean, Denver's really, really good.
They're the best fourth quarter team I've seen in 20 years.
They've won all these, like, a lot of. Last 5 minutes. Last night they made eight of their last nine baskets.
You know what they're going to do, and you can't stop it.
Yeah.
They run a two-man game with Jokic and Murray, and they put them in a bunch of pick and rolls, and the other team is just powerless to stop it. And the one thing the Lakers needed to do that they couldn't do is hit shots at the end of the game. LeBron makes that three, and the game's over.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's five or six things that, if they just go the other way for a heartbeat, the Lakers win that game. For example, that crazy scrum when Michael Porter ended up with the three that tied the game at 95.
Right.
The Lakers had that ball twice.
Yeah.
You know, they turned it over, then we turned it over, then we turned it over again, and it ends up in Porter's hands, and he hits a three.
Yep.
But I'm sure if they're sitting there saying, LeBron had one shot where he literally threw it up from his waist, underarm.
And found a way.
AD made... It's the best half I've ever seen him play. He made 14 of 15 shots to start the game. 14 of 15.
Yeah.
Now they went away from him. I don't know why, but...
Let me ask you this. So as we pick this thing apart, is it possible that was AD on Jokic so much, and is that such a demanding cover that AD had little gas in the tank at the end?
Yes, is the answer to your question, but more so, I thought... They had to take him out when he got his fourth foul.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so that's what we talked about yesterday. I was in favor. I think you agreed with
me. I was. Go at him.
Put AD on Jokic because nobody else can stop him. Well, now we know even AD can't stop
him. Nobody can stop
him. Right.
He did a good job on him in the first half. He was doing a really good job on
him. But he was getting – Jokic was getting a ton of rebounds. And if you look at his finish line, I mean, he had another triple-double. He's just an unbelievable player.
Always.
He's the best player in the world. But AD was outplaying him for three quarters. And then Jokic took it over.
You know, that one play Jokic had where he had his pivot foot and he turned all the way around.
Yeah.
And found, I mean, that's
dude's
just...
Dude's like a seven-foot-tall ballerina.
That's like ballet. And even Juan asked me, we were watching the game once, said, are they allowed to do that? I'm like, yeah, he kept his pivot foot. He was able to do it.
I mean...
Bergman says he traveled. I don't care.
They probably aren't going to call that.
No, never going to call it. But his foot did drag like... a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Like, oh, my foot dragged all the way around. That is traveling, but they're never going to call it.
After the game, LeBron talked about the replay center. And again, D'Angelo Russell got slapped in the face. It was called a foul. Then it got reversed on replay. And it was ridiculous that it got reversed. Here's LeBron on the replay center.
I mean, yeah, of course it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what the... I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. Replay center is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game, too. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? He's right. That's not the reason they lost.
Yeah, that it's important that we preface that with
not at all the reason
the refs
they
aren't
lost.
The reason they lost that game. They blew a 20-point lead.
And the other thing is, if you watch LeBron's scrum, that's not what he led with. He did not lead with the call on D'Angelo or the replay center. He led with it came later. But it's, you know, also there's an element of, isn't there an element of LeBron and actually everybody else, Darvin, et cetera, talking about the replay center, sort of doing the old Phil Jackson thing,
100%.
The teeing things up for the next game and putting
way,
something
Nick,
in officials'
Nick
heads.
Nurse is doing it in Philly.
Right.
And you notice that right after the game, sources to anyone's at the game say that they're going to file a grievance with the NBA about poor officiating.
About the first two games.
Right. So that's all to get it in the ref's head for game three. Hey, if you screw us again, this is going to be a major deal and everybody's going to know your name. It's all posturing. That's not why they lost. They did not lose that game because of the refs. But I'll say it again. And wait, let me ask you three guys. Should I just give up this dream of ending replay?
Yes.
Because I don't think it's ever going to happen.
It's not. And also, because replay is obviously a big part of it. But why didn't Darvin Ham replay when LeBron James got a foul on
Great
Jamal
question.
Murray?
Mm-hmm. It was a mistake, in my opinion, to finish the game with two timeouts and a challenge.
And a
Ridiculous.
Challenge left, yeah.
That you challenged
By
that.
The way, as tired as LeBron and AD were, just call a timeout to give them a blow.
That's right.
You know, those timeouts are long. Right. So call them that way. But that, you know, I'll say this. That's something your assistant coaches should be in your ear about. I don't know if they were or not, but Michael and I sit pretty high
up. Well, yeah, that's normally how you go to replay is an assistant will say, yeah, it's a go. No, it's not a go.
And also, hey, we have two timeouts left. LeBron and AD are pretty gassed.
Yep.
Let's just call a timeout so they can sit for 2 minutes. Then we don't have to take him out of the game.
Right.
They took AD out of the game when he was dominating. And they took D'Angelo Russell out of the game when he had made five. He was 5 for 5 from three, and they took him out.
Yeah.
Most coaches do that. Even Greg Popovich, who's considered the best coach in the league, sticks to his rotations.
Yep.
Michael and I always talk about that. If a guy goes 5 for 5 from three, I'm not taking
roll
him out.
With it.
It was so early too.
Yeah,
like he was 5 for 5 in the first 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And then they pulled him.
It's like you got a plan, but be flexible with it based on somebody being hot.
Well, and Michael taught me something years ago, and he's right. You know, Greg, you play basketball. You know, you don't get hot or you don't get tired when you're hot.
No,
when you're hot, you just want to keep going to see how much you get. And finally, Russell took a long three. It was a heat check, and he missed it.
By the way, the other thing, John,
is that was after they had taken him out.
Yeah, you play defense better when you're shooting well. That's the other thing. Like D'Angelo went cold in game one. And then lost himself defensively, and KCP hit those, I think it was three threes in that game, because D'Angelo lost track of him. And I think if you're shooting well, you're generally engaged on the defensive end as well, and vice versa.
Yeah, I'll say this again, and I know I'm going to keep beating this drum. And the Lakers could lose on Thursday and go down 3-0, and then it's a sweep.
Yep.
No one in the history of the NBA, never, 151 times, teams have gone down 0-3, they're 0-151.
Yeah.
It's never happened. So if you lose game three, that's it. But flying home last night with these guys, their attitude wasn't, I can't believe we lost again to Denver. It was, we can play with these guys. We just went into their building and punched them in the mouth twice, and they just punched back harder. Now we get them in our building. And I think their attitude is going to be, win Thursday. Don't think 1 second past Thursday.
Past it, yeah.
And if they get Thursday, then you try and steal Saturday.
Yep.
Is it likely? No.
No.
But is it possible after what we saw last
night? The chances aren't
zero. Right. To quote Jim Carrey,
there is a chance. Exactly.
So until then, until they are eliminated, I think, like, D'Angelo Russell is bordering on confidence.
Oh, yeah, no, he came out and said, you know, I we're going to win this series, don't worry.
I'll tell you this. The Lakers, 15 times the Lakers have come back from
down 0-2.
Down 0-1.
0-1.
0-2, I'd have to look, but 0-2, it's been a long time. But Kobe used to beat this drum all the time. He would say, and I think Phil said it, and it's basketball. The series never really starts until one of the home teams loses. And you know the home teams are 11-0
really
in the playoffs in the NBA right now. There has not been a road team to win a playoff game.
Okay.
There have been 11 playoff games. Home teams are 11-0.
Take one of the numbers you threw out yesterday. Once you're down 0-2, there's only a 7% chance historically that you're going to come back to win the series.
Right, but if you're down 2-1, it goes way up.
Right, and here's the thing. I got a feeling they're going to steal either Thursday or Saturday.
Well, if they lose Thursday, I don't think they win Saturday.
Oh, you think it's a sweep if they lose Thursday?
Most of the time it is. That's what happened last year. They played a really close game.
So then it's everything that's on Thursday.
Right.
I mean, that was basically their best shot. You were up 20 in the second half, and you lost the game.
Right, but now you get it. Yeah, now you get them here.
Yep.
And so
hopefully.
The question we should be asking today is, can they win one game on Thursday? Yeah. I mean, they might not, but yeah, they could. And if they do, then the series becomes something.
Yeah.
But it's all about Thursday now.
Yeah.
And by the way, had LeBron's three gone in, had Murray's shot rimmed out, it's a completely different show today.
Oh, yeah, completely different. All right, coming up next for you, Les Snead is going to join us sometime coming up in the next couple of minutes. In the meantime, let me talk about the L.A. County Department of Mental Health. My partnership with them is very, very important to me because, as you know, I've dealt with mental health issues, mental health struggles over the years, and you know, you need somebody to talk to if things are going wrong. If you're feeling overwhelmed or depressed, struggling at work, struggling in your relationship, and you need somebody to talk to and you don't have that person, the LA County Department of Mental Health is there to help with a 24/7 hotline. 1-800-854-7771. Now, here's the thing. If you're in crisis, definitely call. If you want a service referral, definitely call. But if you just need somebody to talk to a little bit, 800-854-7771. The website is dmh.lacounty.gov. That's dmh.lacounty.gov. Your mental health is their priority. Let's have a brighter tomorrow, everybody, with hope and recovery and well-being. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are we still? This is Yacht Rock, right?
Sure.
Even without Morales, we're doing Yacht Rock.
Why not?
I'm for it.
He's supposed to be here soon, so.
He's going to show. By the way, I'm so sore today, John.
From all your
it was leg day yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So now you're sore top to bottom.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now I am really, really sore. And I put out a podcast today with Katie O'Brien, who's an actress who got all pumped up and shredded for a movie called Love Lies Bleeding. She was trained by the same guy I'm working with, Steve Zim, and she was. We talk about it in the podcast.
What does the phrase "love lies bleeding" mean? That's an Elton John song, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Funeral for a Friend. I know "Love Lies Bleeding" is a combo song.
It ends
for Elton John.
Unhappily.
Okay.
The movie ends unhappily, so I assume that must have something.
I don't know. Laura, look that up. What is "Love Lies Bleeding"?
Love lies bleeding is rough.
So you know, I'm after that first segment, I'm starting to get some social media reactions.
Oh yeah.
Rich. Says, love the optimism, John, but it's over. Corey Van Vector, sorry, Ireland. If you're just now realizing you can play with these guys after game two, you've already lost. A team with championship aspirations should go in from game one and already know they can play with them. I think they did. And here's the thing for guys like Rich and Corey. They know, the Lakers know you guys have given up.
Right.
They know the media and the fans don't think they can win.
Right.
They think they can win.
And that's good.
Right. Now, I don't know if they can actually execute that.
Correct.
But their confidence is not gone. Your confidence, Corey and Rich, is gone. Theirs is not. And if you're a Laker fan, that's what you want.
Yeah, sure. I also think it's over, by the way.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
No, I think, I don't think you could find any credible media member that would now pick the Lakers.
By the way, it's also the way they lost. Blowing a 20-point lead and losing at the buzzer is a really tough way to lose. And I don't question their confidence. I mean, LeBron's been in situations like this before. I just think Denver's too good. I thought they were too good before the series. I thought they would beat the Lakers. And now up 2-0, I'm even more certain.
My whole thing of Lakers in six, I really, truly believed it as of yesterday, even when they were up 20.
Yeah, but now you're in the water with Mason.
Yeah, no, I'm off.
I am. I'm the guy in a tuxedo on the Titanic. I am prepared
you have to
go down as a gentleman.
I know you can't. You can't. But Brian, I know Brian may or may not be with me. You were Lakers in seven. Are you still?
Brian, throw out a tux. Grab a violin. Let's go.
I'm right there. I'm walking the plank.
You're thinking,
you're grabbing some other lady's baby.
This series is over. It's beyond over at this point.
It's super disappointing. The chances, I'll respond to Ireland this way. The chances are not zero.
That's 0.11 facts.
Not zero.
In your mind, it's zero, but in reality, it's less than zero.
Less than zero, exactly.
All right.
Les Snead's going to join us here in any minute now.
I ran into Kevin Demoff in Denver. He's on the Nuggets now. And I said, so what are you going to do in the first round? And he looks at me and he laughs. He goes, I have no idea. I never know what he said, we're talking about a lot of different things, but Les trades down a lot.
Yeah, he does. So trades up or trades down.
He goes, it would almost be a surprise if we kept the pick. But he goes, we're right now going at it as if we've got the 16th pick?
19th pick.
19th pick.
Yep.
Do you want to see, is there a position you'd like to see them draft?
Oh, they got to go defensive tackle or edge rusher. They need help on
defense.
Did
you see that one story I sent you that there's a couple of draft Knicks out there that think that if Bo Nix is still on the board at 19, they'll grab him.
See, that story you sent, by the way, says if he's available in the second round,
that would make more sense.
That would make more sense.
I think they're going to trade out of that 19 spot.
Do
you?
I
hope they do, because Les, with picks in the second, third, fourth round,
has done well.
It's great.
pick is on the board. Dallas Turner from Bama gone. Latu from UCLA gone.
You want him to take a defensive edge rusher?
Yeah, Byron Murphy, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Johnny Newton. By the way, Chop Robinson, great name. Chop Robinson for an edge rusher, especially for a football player.
Exactly, Les.
Can I get a mythical money bet on whether or not from those four picks, I got the Rams pick?
Sure.
What are the odds I got the Rams pick?
All right, what should we give him, Greg? 2-1?
2-1, that's fine.
Yeah. All right, how much you want to bet?
I mean, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
To pick the number 19 pick.
So we're giving you four choices. If it's one of the four you win, how much you want to bet?
$30,000 mythical dollars. Okay. I feel really, really good about this.
Now, who are your four? It has to be
one of these four.
One of these four.
Yeah. I think he's going to lose, Greg.
I know he's going to lose.
Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
Okay.
Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State.
Okay.
Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois.
Okay.
It's got to be one of those four for me to win the bet.
Who's the second one?
Jared Verse.
Jared Verse.
Florida State.
Okay, got it.
Now, do you think Les will give us an indication of which way he's leaning?
Why wouldn't he tell you?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think
he'll talk in generalities, but if we know Les, just studying his track record in the past,
yep.
More picks the better with that guy. So if you could take your number one, your number 19, and trade it for a 2-3 or even a 3-4.
Sure.
With him, with Les, I'd do it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where they got Puka Nacua. That's where they got Cooper Kupp.
Hey,
that's where they got the running back,
Kyren Williams, they got there. Yeah, I mean,
that's where the Rams live.
Yeah.
Is they can find picks in the second, third, and fourth round, sometimes even later than that.
Yeah, yeah.
That turn out to be really good. What round did they get Kobe Turner?
Fifth?
Yeah, I mean, and teams overvalue first round picks. Les has always been able to take advantage of that other teams will give up a lot for a first round pick. Now, the thing I'm hearing is that, Greg, the Raiders are going to jump into the top 10 to take a quarterback.
That's what I want to hear. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Now, here's my question. No way that Washington trades out of that number two pick, right?
Probably not.
Because, Jaden Daniels was coached by Antonio Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
At Raiders Arizona
would love
State.
To get it. They're not getting him.
Hey, I don't real think fast, can. Why don't we do this? Because Les is going to be a little bit behind. Okay. He's wrapping up and okay. going to need a minute. So let's break. Tell me about Toyota, John, and then we'll come
okay.
back with Les.
And we'll come back with, Morales is here, so we'll get into some live imaging. We'll do Wheel of Questions, and Les Need is coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Greg mentioned about Toyota and the Southern California Toyota dealers. For as long as I've been doing this job in L.A., Toyota and the Lakers have been together. 48-year partnership. Toyota and the Southern California Toyota dealers, year after year, deliver quality, reliability, and simply the best vehicles on the road. And right now, brand new inventory is waiting for you. Choose from an amazing selection of cars, trucks, crossovers, SUVs, and EVs. Great deals waiting for you now. All you got to do is see your Southern California Toyota dealers or visit Toyota.com. Toyota, we make it easy.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Well, look who it is. 145 in the Southland.
Hey, he's here.
On a live imaging Tuesday made possible by our friends at Kia of downtown L.A., Mason in Ireland, on a reaction Tuesday, and I believe a very special guest has yes. joined the line, Mace.
Nice. And joining us right now is the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. Les, welcome to the show. How you feeling 48 hours before it all starts?
You know, feeling ready. Excited. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to working on Thursday night.
So
instead of just being a fan.
I was just going to say, Les, this is rare air for the Rams. You guys have a first-round pick. We've known you and we've followed your career closely. I'm assuming there's still a chance that you could trade out of it. Your phone is open for business, or are you committed to maybe taking a first-round pick for once this year?
That's a really good question. Here's what committed to try to make the or make a pick to let's call it be a net positive for the Rams, whether it's an offensive player, whether it's a defensive player. The end of the day, you said it. We're exploring opportunities to, I call it, right, strike from afar, be a little more aggressive, maybe go grab a player that we didn't think or we don't think will fall to 19. We're definitely exploring the possibility of, okay, if we hold pat. And at that point in time, what we can control whether we hold pat. What we don't control is who falls.
Right.
And then from there, do you actually trade back? And the interesting thing is I can say this. I don't think this is breaking news. I'm pretty sure that initially we would trade back a little farther into the first round. What happens when you do trade back, usually you have 1 to 2 to 3 players
yep.
that you would really take still in the first round. And at that point in time, if those players are no longer there, it's okay. Do you take someone who's, let's call it, in your own deck circle, or do you, at that point, continue moving
Interesting.
Out?
Yeah.
And that would probably yeah. be back out of the first. That's probably the lesser or the least, let's call it, certain option. It's to not have a first-round pick that night. But that's how – if we ended up with just a second, we would probably say, you know what, we didn't pick in the first – we're going to start early in the second, but we got a lot of other picks, to go with us the rest of the way.
Les Snead is with us, general manager of the Rams, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I want to ask you a philosophical question here, Les. So I read this article, and I'm going to try to sound smart on this, that the Rams have got the second cheapest defense in the league and a lot of money in the offense. And I saw an analysis that asked if the Rams are ahead of the curve again because it is an offensive league and you can survive a lesser defense. What do you think of all that?
One of our, let's call it Rams alumni, Wade Phillips, who's now coaching in the UFL, would always say, you know, the objective of the game, right, is to score more points than the other team. And for the most part, you do that through offense. Now, I can say, here's what I will say. I'm not sure we're really, really that bright, and I'm not sure. But there's a lot of moving parts, and there's some variables, and there's some, if you want to call it, black swans, that it's really, really hard to truly say, hey, we're going to really, really control a very unpredictable ecosystem. But what is intentional is this, right? Our head coach is an offensive coordinator. Our quarterback happens to be right in the prime twilight of his career. We have a lot of players on offense who are in their prime twilight, even some young ones that came on. So offensive is important. It's how we're built presently, and I do think, right, helping the offense continue evolving, let's call it possibly being a little bit better than they have been. That's always the goal. But what I can say, we've been a very successful offense, and that is intentional.
We're talking to Les Snead, the GM of the Rams. The NFL draft is Thursday night. Right now, as we speak, the Rams have the 19th pick in the first round. And we're going to be hearing that sound a lot. Les, you have had – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I wonder who wrote that piece of music there. Like that one, psychologically was like, wow, are we picking right now?
Yeah.
So whoever wrote that's a legend.
You're on the clock, Les. You're on the clock.
Yeah. All right. So, Les, you have had, you personally and the Rams as a team, great success finding top-tier talent in the later rounds, whether it be Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua or Kobe Turner or Kyren Williams. I would assume you guys, again, have a list this year of people you can target in those rounds. Here's my question. How do you decide whether or not you need to move up or just assume your guy's still going to be there? I would imagine that's the dance that every GM is going to be doing over the next 72 hours, is trying to decide if the guy they really want is still going to be there when they pick. How do you decide when to pick up your phone and try and move up, or just stand pat and hope your guy falls to you?
Yeah, I don't think you ever know that answer, right? I can probably say psychologically, if you've targeted a player, and especially if you've targeted a player and you're into day three, there is not a lot of data, right, that's going to at that point suggest this player is definitely going to fall to you. Because somewhere outside of that, you know, let's call it 80 to 100 players, once it gets after that, it becomes a very, if you're really in the analytics, a scatter plot on who's going where and why. And I think a lot of that comes into situations, right? It comes into teams have needs. Did they fill some earlier? They didn't fill them earlier, so now they need a position. All of those variables come into play. So what I can say, very uncertain to go, oh, this player is definitely going to be there. Now, there are some data points where you can analyze, study, right, based on maybe measurable things like that. These players tend to be drafted later than others. You can't just specifically say how late. So I think what really comes down to is, right, if you have a vision for a player and there's an opening in your situation where that player, right, can come to life, then maybe you shouldn't sit back and wait and let the draft kind of dictate your choice. Maybe you should use a, let's call it a pick behind you to go get that player that you have a lot of buy-in and vision for.
All right, so as part of that process, I just wonder how things get executed on draft day. In other words, if you want to talk to John Lynch, do you call him? Do you text him? Are you guys all sitting in a room with each other's phone numbers? Or is there a Zoom call going? How do you communicate with other teams day of the draft?
That's a really, really interesting question. There, the technology with the league is, we have, and I couldn't tell you how it gets done, but it's pretty simple because it's an old school phone. But at the end of the day, we share numbers via email, right? And really, it gets down to John Lynch is basically on your dial, right? You just hit number one.
Okay.
John Lynch, hit number two, and that's John Snyder. Hit number three, and that's Eric DaCosta. You get the point. And there's also some other numbers that are shared. Like, let's say we do call a team and John Lynch's number's busy. You know, there's three other numbers shared.
Right, right.
And hey, if you can't get John, call this person for trades. Example like that.
Gotcha.
Now, I can't say with the advent of text and things like that, we still all, you know, text each other and things like that. But there is a centralized way to communicate.
Les, you know, I'm a huge Rams fan, and getting ready for the draft, I put up my, I actually have a full board in my house to follow the players and follow the draft. And I've got, he gives up
45 minutes into the draft, Les, yeah, but he does have a board.
I've got an in-house wager that I've got four players and one of them's going to be your pick.
Well, let me ask you this. How many names are on your board?
I have got, for the Rams, I've got four different names. I can't decide which one you're going to take.
If I was just wondering how many were on your total board. Like,
oh my,
100 is.
Oh, no, no. I only do the first round. I'm not Mel Kiper. I only do the first round.
Yeah, and he can't stay up that late anyway.
No, so I'm just going to throw out four names. You tell me if I have a chance of being right, okay? Byron Murphy, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Johnny Newton. Do I have a chance of being right?
Now, so what were your names again?
Byron Murphy, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Johnny Newton.
I mean, there's always a chance, right?
Yeah.
Always a chance.
Always a chance.
Yeah. And by the way, Les, you guys have this draft house in Hermosa Beach. I was just looking at pictures of it. Is that where you're going to be on Thursday in this $16 million Hermosa Beach mansion?
That is where we're going to be, for sure.
So do you even get to enjoy it, or is your head so in the computer that you don't even know where you are?
You know what? I can say this. It's probably somewhere in between. Over the years, I've enjoyed going to a different environment, right, with, let's call it a little bit, with a nice, or let's call it really nice, great, rare view, so that there is that moment is then, like, this is pretty cool when you need a mental break, but then somewhere in between you're definitely focused and locked in. So but I'm let's call it this, I'm net positive on the draft house experience.
Good. Yeah, good. Well, listen, we will be listening, watching everything on Thursday. We will look for that sound. And can't wait to see who the Rams select at number 19, if you select at number 19. Hey, Les, great talking to you, man. Have a great draft on
Thursday.
Good luck,
Les. Hey,
appreciate it. Take the luck all the time.
All right, there you go.
See ya.
I think he confirmed that one of my four names is going to be the Rams.
He didn't tell you no.
He did not tell me no. I think I've got a chance to win that bet. All right, so coming up next, we could do wheel. We could do 2 o'clock call of the day.
Let's do the wheel and the call.
Okay, let's do
we'll knock them both
we'll
out.
Do the wheel of questions, and we'll do the 2 o'clock call of the day. Reaction to last night, devastating loss for the Lakers at Denver. They blow a 20-point lead, and then they wind up losing in a buzzer beater. It was a tough loss. They're down 0-2
in
the series.
That was an amazing shot Jamal Murray made.
It was.
Anthony Davis made him completely
fall away. Yeah.
That guy's just a great player.
Yeah. So we'll sneak 2 o'clock call of the day in two. Plus, it's Live Imaging Tuesday. We'll get some live imaging. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.